Your Bible's with me this morning, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I think the story I'm going to tell and wrap around the message this morning is a true story. It is written as a true story. I did not research it. And I would add this disclaimer again that even a story like this, if it were not a true story, parables would have great meaning. I really do believe this one's probably true. A lady writes, at the prodding of my friends, I'm writing this story. My name is Mildred Hondorf. I'm a former elementary school music teacher from Des Moines, Iowa. I've always supplemented my income by teaching piano lessons, something I've done for over 30 years. And over the years, I found that children have many levels of musical ability. I've never had the pleasure of having a prodigy, though I've taught some very talented students. However, I've also had my share of what I call musically challenged students. One such pupil was Robbie. Robbie was 11 years old when his mother, a single mom, dropped him off for his first piano lesson. I prefer that students, especially boys, begin at an earlier age, and I explained that to Robbie. But Robbie said it had always been his mother's dream to hear him play the piano. So I took him as a student. Well, Robbie began with his piano lessons, and from the beginning, I thought it was really a hopeless endeavor. As much as he tried, he lacked the sense of tone and basic rhythm needed to excel, but he dutifully reviewed his scales and some elementary pieces that I require all my students to learn. Over the months, he tried and tried, while I listened and cringed and tried to encourage him. At the end of each weekly lesson, he'd always say, "My mom's going to hear me play someday." But it seemed hopeless. He just didn't have any inborn ability. I only knew his mother from a distance as she dropped Robbie off or waited in her aged car to pick him up. She always waved and smiled, but never stopped in. One day, Robbie stopped coming to our lessons. I thought about calling him, but assumed because of his lack of ability that he had decided to pursue something else. I also was glad that he stopped coming. He was a bad advertisement for my teaching. Several weeks later, I mailed to the students' homes a flyer on the upcoming recital. To my surprise, Robbie, who received a flyer, asked me if he could be in the recital. I told him the recital was for current pupils and because he had dropped out, that he really didn't qualify. He said his mother had been sick and unable to take him to piano lessons, but he was still practicing. "Miss Hondorf, I've just got to play," he insisted. I don't know what led me to allow him to play in the recital. Maybe it was his persistence or maybe it was something inside of me saying that it was going to be all right. The night for the recital came. The high school gym was packed with parents, friends, and relatives, and I put Robbie up last in the program before I was to come up and thank all the students and play a finishing piece. And I thought any damage he would do would come at the end of the program, and I could always salvage his poor performance through my curtain closer. Well, the recital went off without a hitch. The students had been practicing, and it really showed. Then Robbie came up on stage. His clothes were wrinkled. His hair looked like he'd run an egg beater through it. Why didn't he dress up like the other students, I thought? Why didn't his mother at least make him comb his hair for this special night? Robbie pulled out the piano bench, and he began. Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, let's stand for the reading of God's Word and read verses 1 through 3 with me out loud, would you please, everyone? "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Thank you. You may be seated. Now, how important is the thought that God gives us in verse 2? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. When God wants us to know something, He tells it to us at least once in His Word. That's enough, by the way. When God speaks once, we better listen because it's God speaking. Sometimes God will say something twice or maybe even three or four times. The repetition doesn't make it any more true or any more needed. But God apparently wants us to really sit up and pay attention to something that He repeats several times. Now let me ask you the question. How many times do you think God says in the Bible, honor thy father and thy mother? I'm literally going to stop right here and let you guess. How many times in the Bible do you think God says, honor thy father and thy mother? Somebody lift your hand and guess right here. Would you please? No guess is going to be bad. Yes, Adam French. Four times he thinks God says that. Somebody else, how many, Brother Wagner? Twice you think God says, honor thy father and thy mother. And yes, Sister Marilyn. One time you think God says, honor thy father and mother. Anybody else want to guess how many times God says it? Yes, sir, Brother Cotton. 33 times. That'd be a bunch of times, wouldn't it? Yes, sir, you want to guess? Three times. In the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, God said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, we read, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, God commanded, Jesus says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. In Matthew 19, verse 19, we read, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Mark chapter 7, verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. In Mark chapter 10, verse 19, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. In Luke chapter 18, verse 20, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And last, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It was rather astounding to me, honestly, eight times in the Bible. God says, honor thy father and thy mother. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, why and how to honor your mother. And I actually want to begin by asking, what does it mean to honor your mother? I see folks here this morning who don't usually come, at least here on Sunday morning. And you're here. And you're here rightfully so, because you're trying to honor your mother. I even saw some, I think, that are here to honor their grandmother. I commend you for that. What does it mean? To honor means to show respect in any way and every way possible. It means to hold in very high esteem. It means to not show disrespect to your mother by your words, your attitudes, or your actions. Anytime you say words that would dishonor your mother, then you have broken this commandment. Anytime you say words that are cutting words, piercing words, hurting words, damaging words to your mother or about your mother, then you have broken this commandment that God gives eight times. Anytime your attitude is anything but respectful to your mom, if your attitude towards your mother is, or scorning, or mocking and putting down. Anytime your attitude is that way, you have broken this command that God gives eight times. Anytime your actions are not those actions that would truly show honor, then you have broken this commandment. Honor is a gift that you give to the person you are honoring. And the gift of honor virtually always means more than almost any other gift. Do you know there are mothers who have everything that they could imagine and want, and yet they're not happy because their children don't show them honor? And there are mothers who would probably trade virtually all the fine things they have if they simply had a child today who would give them honor. The gift of honor is one of the greatest gifts you can give. There is a verse that may help us to understand this, though it is not in relation to mothers. The verse is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Mr. B, would you come forward and help me illustrate this verse, please? You won't have to do anything except just be here right where I need you. Here's what this verse says. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. Now, he's not a real old man, but we got some gray hair here. How old are you, Mr. B?
3 score and 10.
3 score and 10. He's 70 years old. That's old enough. And I started to pick some others, and I thought, no, I'm going to pick on Mr. B. He's sort of my senior deacon around here. Now, let me show you what this verse means. Listen to it again. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Now, Mr. B, here's what I want you to do. I want you, in just a moment when I tell you to, I want you to shake hands with each of these young men on this front row. And when you do, young men, you are supposed to stand up and remain standing in His presence. All right, Mr. B, would you start shaking their hand? And as you stand up, you remain standing in His presence. Now, that is rising up before the hoary head. And the rising up shows respect. Thank you, fellows. You may be seated. Now, if you... Thank you, Mr. B. You can go back to your seat now. I appreciate that. Now, if you're in a room, if you're in an enclosed room, and an older man walks into that room by his very presence, walking into the room, you should rise. That rising up shows respect to him. And this is not just manners or etiquette, though it is manners and etiquette, and we could use an extra dose of it in America. Did you know that? We have had too many manners that folks apparently thought they were nanners and they ate theirs. They don't. That's what my mama used to say to me when I was a boy. And if I didn't show manners in some proper way, she would say, apparently you thought your manners were nanners and you ate them. And I have never forgotten it, but I'm not sure I ever used it in a sermon before. We've got too many people no longer have manners. We've got too many people that no longer show proper etiquette. And that this is manners, it is etiquette, but it is more than that. It is Bible. It would be good, young people, when your mother comes to the table last and everybody else is already sitting there, for you to either wait to sit down or to stand up as she sits down. Why? Because you are showing honor. And if you understand the power of the verse that I'm reading to you, honor thy father and thy mother, if you understand the impact of that verse and the fact that God says it not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, but 8 times. 8 is significant in the Bible. The number 7 is the number of completion or perfection. The number 8 is the number of the new order. And the number 8 says that God considers this as something really extraordinary. It is no mistake that 8 times you read this in your Bible. And if you understood how important that was, I say to you, you should be thinking day and night, every every time you see your mother, the first thought that should come into your mind is this: how can I honor my mother? When you see your father, one of the first things that should come into your mind is this: how can I show honor to my mother? And if your words, if your lips, if your life, if your actions, if your demeanor in any way, at any time, ever, in any way shows disrespect or dishonor to your mother or your father, you should immediately say, whoa, what have I done? I'm about to cut my whole life short. Because you really are. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's true. You say, well, mother wouldn't want us to stand up at the table. Well, it's not just for her, it's for you. You need to give honor because you need to give honor. You say, well, my mama's not what she ought to be. You need to give honor because you need to give honor. The Bible doesn't say if your mama's not what she ought to be, you can pass up this command. It simply says, honor thy father and thy mother. If she commands you not to do that, then you don't. But you don't just overlook this command. You look for other ways to show respect to your mother. You get up and help her with her chair at the table. You open the car door for her. You see her starting to pick up a package and you run across the room and you say, here, Mom, let me carry that for you. What are you doing? You are looking for ways. You're consciously saying, what can I do to show honor to my mother? You see, this command is not just good for Mother's Day once a year. This command is 365 days of the year, and on leap year, it's 366 days of the year. We have an epidemic of disrespect in America. And it gives, honestly, Christian young people an opportunity to shine. Because if you show respect, all you have to do is show respect. And you know, there are so many disrespectful young people in our world today that if all you do is show respect, your light will shine before men. They will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Young people, one day God looked down from heaven and decided he needed somebody just like Judah Howell. Now, how is God going to get Judah Howell here? Well, he chose Dwayne and Andrea Howell to be your parents. He knew what he wanted you to be, so he gave them the responsibility of making you what he wants you to be. Now, there's only one way, Judah, for you to become that, and that is obey your parents. And that is in the Lord, and that is right. Do you know God doesn't waste any words? It doesn't just say, children, obey your parents. That would have been enough. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What's it saying? There's a lot of meanings that could be had to that phrase, but I believe one key meaning of that is this: the Lord is watching when you obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then he says, could I just add a little emphasis here? This is just plain right. I said it's right. I said it's right. I said it's right. There are wrong things. There are right things. Obeying your parents, you know, is always a right thing. There's only one way Judah can become what God wants him to become, and that's to obey his parents. That means this: how are you going to obey them? Well, there's only one way you can obey them, and that is if they make laws for your life, and then you follow those laws. And that obedience that you give to the laws that your parents make for you, for it to truly be the right kind of obedience that makes you what you're supposed to be, It must be three things. Get this, I'm going to have you repeat it with me. It must be immediate and sweet and complete. Say it with me, would you please? Obedience to be obedience that makes you what you ought to be. It must be immediate and sweet and complete. Say it again. It must be immediate and sweet and complete. That Psalm 119, verse 60 would be a good verse to put up in your home. It says this, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So obedience to be what it ought to be, say it again with me, please. It must be immediate and sweet and complete. Now, if you choose when you're going to obey, then you have actually disobeyed. If your parents say to you, son, I want you to take this trash out, please, and you decide you're going to wait till tomorrow to do it, then you have disobeyed. Obedience must be immediate. Secondly, it must be sweet. What do I mean by that? It's really rather simple. It means, some of you, you boys, I don't know about you being sweet. I don't know whether you can be or not. But anyway, something like that. A good attitude, all right? Immediate, sweet, and complete means that instead of saying, when mom says, Judah, I want you to take trash out, please. And you say, it's Janae's turn to take the trash out. Guess what? You have just dishonored your mother. You have just broken God's commandment because you have not obeyed, because a key way that you show honor is with obedience. And obedience to be obedience must be immediate, and it must be sweet, and it must be complete. Now, what's that mean? It means that you take all the trash all the way and you do a good job with it. It means you go in there and you pick up the trash bag, and it happened to be overflowing this time. I know it never happens at y'all house, but it seemed to happen at my house quite a few times. And the trash bag is overflowing and there's some that's fallen on the floor. And mom comes after a while and she says, Jude, I thought I asked you to take trash out. Well, I did. Well, if your attitude's still not sweet, then you just dishonored. Mom, I took the trash out. No. And she says, Judah, you didn't pick up around the trash can. There was some that had fallen off of it. Well, I didn't want to do that. Whoa, we've blown all of them now. Now we're no longer sweet. Now we're no longer complete. We don't have obedience. We don't have honor. And we have broken God's command. If you choose when you're going to obey, then you haven't obeyed. If you choose what your attitude is going to be, then you haven't truly obeyed. If you choose to only do part of what you're told to do, then you're disobedient. Do you obey immediately? Is your obedience obvious to others? Interesting story. Listen to this. I like this one. This is neat. I've been holding this for years. Paul Blasco, Vestal, New York. I was preaching in a small... He titled this article, My First Convert. He said, I was preaching in a small church just a block away from my home. Because it was summer, the windows and front door were open. During the invitation to accept Christ as Savior, I said something like this, if you want to receive Christ, just come. And I emphasized that latter word, come. At that moment, my well-trained collie was walking past the church and heard my voice. He obediently entered the church, walked down the center aisle, and sat right in front of the pulpit looking up at me. You know what that was? It was a dog who had been trained to obey. By the way, parents, you will not do hardly anything as a parent any more important than training your children to obey your commands. You should speak, they should listen. you should speak, and don't let them get by with disobedience. If they disobey you in either the action or the attitude or the length of time, then you've got to do some training, and you better get it done. You should have most of it done by the time they're 5 to 7 years of age. And the longer you wait after that, the harder it is to do. It's just like a tree that starts up and goes crooked, and you don't make it straight right away. As it gets larger and larger, it will become more and more difficult to straighten up that tree and make it grow right. The reason obedience must be immediate and sweet and complete is because that is what is necessary in order to give honor as well as obedience. You might obey without honoring, but you're not going to honor without obeying. Obedience without honor is actually ugly. Obedience without honor is crass and crude and empty. All right, I'll take out the trash. I'll make you happy. No, you didn't. And no, you didn't truly obey and honor. To honor your parents is to put them in the number one spot in your life, to elevate them, to respect them like nobody else. Brother Bazin, help me a little bit here because I'm not very good. Name to me a couple of basketball stars. Who? Kobe Bryant. Do you guys know who Kobe Bryant is? I got guys shaking their head. No, I got guys shaking their head. Yes. All right. Kobe Bryant. Give me the name of a football star. Can you name a football star for me? Who? Peyton Manning. Do y'all know who Peyton Manning is? Some of y'all know who Peyton Manning is. All right? Let's say Kobe Bryant and Peyton Manning walked into this church right now and walked right in here and walked right down and shook your hand and said, "Do you mind if I sit with you today?" What would you say? Huh? Come on now, really, yes. He said, I would say to him he can have his seat. Now that wasn't very nice. But anyway, he knows he's kidding, so they're all right. Do you know why you would feel so wow? It's because you honor him. Now, did you know that is really a good picture of how you should feel about your mom and your dad? My dad's been gone 22 years now. You know how wonderful it'd be if I could spend 5 minutes with my dad? I'd rather spend 5 minutes with my dad than the President of the United States, than the Vice President, than a Congressman, than a Senator, than anybody you might name on the face of this earth. My mom's been gone for 3.5 years now. You know how great it'd be to get to spend 5 minutes with my mom? You know why I feel that way? Because there is in my heart an honor for my father and my mother. It is in there. God put it in there. I'm not bragging on me. God put it in there, and He gave me His grace to let Him put it in there. Could I tell you something? It is a wise young man or a wise young lady who recognizes the greatness of your father and mother now and not after they're gone. Lots of people wake up after they lose somebody. But lots of people don't wake up until then. Do you really show honor? What does it mean to honor? Honor in the Bible is viewed as valuable. The Hebrew word translated honor is also translated rich. You know why? Because it is a wealthy thing for you to show honor to your mother and father. Interestingly, the same Hebrew word translated honor is translated hardened, as in God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Isn't that interesting? You know what it's saying? It's saying that this honor is something that is very strong. It is tough. A young man who truly honors his mother, you wouldn't dare dishonor her in his presence. It's a tough honor. His honor is tough. It is strong. It is valuable. The Hebrew word is also translated glorious. Isn't that interesting? Honor is a glorious thing. And the Hebrew word is also translated prevailed. It lasts. It doesn't change with the tides of time. So honor is viewed as valuable, as weighty, as exalted, as an enduring thing. That is what honor is. Secondly, why should you honor your mother? There is a very simple answer to that. She gave you life. I am the sixth born of my father and mother, and many times before my mother went to heaven, she would tell me how she had trouble, more trouble carrying me than any of the other five children. She would tell me how from the second month of pregnancy on, she had lots of difficulty carrying me. Do you know, I forever will owe her for that. It is a debt that I owe to her. Why should you honor your mother? So that you can claim the promises and blessings that come with that honor. Ephesians 6:2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment. It's listing the Ten Commandments and says, this is the first of the Ten Commandments that has a promise with it. Now, there are unconditional promises given in the Bible, and there are conditional promises given in the Bible. Unconditional promises, you don't have to do anything to get them. This one is conditioned on you doing something. If you want these blessings, you must choose to show honor. What are those blessings? That it may be well with thee. Honor thy father and the mother. First commandment with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with thee. Same phrase was given in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that it may go well with thee. Now let me ask you something. Everybody listening, do you want life to go good or bad for you? Would you rather, come on now, be truthful with me. Would you rather your life go good or go bad? Which way you want to go? I'm talking to some young person here today who is at a fork in the road of life. One road you take will be rough and bumpy and difficult and vexing and full of potholes and pitfalls. And the other road will be well and smooth. And that first road that is rough and bumpy and difficult and vexing and full of potholes and pitfalls, it is marked dishonor your parents. And the other one that is well and smooth is marked honor your father and your mother, and it'll go well with you. And you're at a fork in the road. You can choose either one of these roads. And it is a road that you choose that truly affects you for life. God says, you choose to honor your parents, it will go well with you. Now, we understand something here. Everyone has troubles and trials and difficulties. But I want to tell you, those who dishonor their parents multiply their trials needlessly and foolishly. As honor goes up, As honor goes up to your parents, then it really goes past your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. As your honor goes up to your parents, it goes up past your parents to the Lord. And God looks down and says, you know what? Since he's honored his father and his mother, I'm going to let blessing come down on him. I'm going to send the wise counsel that he needs. I'm going to help him make the right decisions. I'm going to get him through this trial that would have washed somebody else's life out. He's honored his parents. I'm going to let him survive this trial. A man or a woman who honors their parents is far more likely to find the right mate than the one who dishonors their parents. Why? You're on a totally different road if you dishonor your parents. You honor your parents, you're on the road that goes well. You dishonor your parents, you're on a road that is not going to go well. That means you're going to... The person who dishonors their parents is probably going to find the wrong mate instead of the right one. The person who dishonors their parents is far more likely to have a bad marriage, and the person who honors their parents is more likely to have a good marriage. A disrespectful young man and a respectful young man are not on the same road of life. The respectful young man is on this road. The disrespectful young man, they just change roads completely. And the respectful young man is on a road where things will go well with him. And the disrespectful young man or young lady is on the road where it's not going to go well. It's very simple. Look at this. These two young people on these two different roads, they meet and build friendships with totally different kinds of people. The respectful young man meets and builds friendships with people like himself. As face, in Proverbs it says, as face answereth the face, so the heart of man to man. And it's saying, just like you look in a mirror, you see a reflection of yourself, so you see your friend and you see what you are like. As face answereth the face, so the heart of man to man. And here is a young man who is respectful. Guess what? He's not going to tolerate being around somebody who's disrespectful. He's going to be around somebody who's disrespectful to his mother, and he's going to look at him and say, what are you talking to your mother like that for? Why are you doing that? Man, I heard what you said. What's going on with you? And that young man's either going to straighten up, or this other young man's going to say, you know what? I'll still be nice to you. I'll still be friendly to you. I'm not a snob. But you know what? You and I are on different roads. He may not say those words, but he's going to say it in his heart. He's going to think it. And a man who disrespects his mother is far more likely to meet a girl who disrespects her father. Watch this. Are you following this? A man who disrespects his mother is more likely to meet a girl who disrespects her father. Why? They're on the same bumpy road of life, full of potholes, full of difficulties. And their disrespect is a kindred spirit that draws them together for a while. Then it blows them apart. And he gets married, and you know what he says right away? She doesn't respect me. She doesn't listen to me. Well, I guess she doesn't. She didn't respect or listen to her daddy either, but you got her because you disrespected your mama. Do you see the connections here, folks? Whatever your relationship is to the authority that is in your home right now is what you're... Girls, if you cannot respect the authority that's in your home right now, how are you going to respect the one that you marry one of these days? You won't. It's going to be built into you. You watch that young lady. Guys, if you've got any sense, if you've got one eye and half sense, first of all, don't flirt with girls. That just sort of fit right there, didn't it? I said, if you've got one eye and have sense, don't flirt with girls. But also, when you're watching young ladies, you're not watching to see how she looks at you, because she can deceive you. She can look at you and she can... Oh, Jordan. Oh, Jordan. And Jordan goes... She can deceive you. But you see how she treats her daddy, you see how you're going to get treated. Does he say to her, would you fix me a glass of sweet tea right now? And she says, yes, Dad. And she runs immediately and sweetly and completely. And she adds the lemon wedge he didn't ask for. And she puts just the amount of ice in the glass that he likes. And she brings that, and you see that in the ministry center next door or wherever you happen to be. And you say, You say, I'd be scared to death to talk to her daddy. She'll be worth it. You say, I'm going to bypass her daddy. Not if she honors him. And if she doesn't honor him, you don't want her. She won't honor you. You say, well, I just don't. That's an awful lot of trouble to have to go talk to her daddy first thing before anything else happens. Yeah. She's not worth it, is she? You're saying she's not worth it. You're saying that she does not have the value. I want to tell you something. If you have the honor in your heart, you wouldn't dream of doing anything else. Would you want that for your sister if you truly honor your parents? I say to you, you definitely would do so. A man who respects his mother, his grandmother, and his sisters will probably respect every other lady, including his wife. You see that young man and he shows honor to his mom. Here, Mom, let me help you with that. Yes, Mom, I'll be glad to do that right away. Yes, Grandma, sure, I'd be glad to do that. Yes, Grandma, I'll do this. And especially his sisters, that's a big area to check it out. His mother, his grandmother, his sisters. Did you notice there is a common factor in mother, grandmother, and sisters? They are all females. Now that is real deep for 21st century man, but they are all females. Now, the way you learn to treat a female, guess what? Mom, grandma, sisters, cousins who are females who you show honor to, guess what? You get married to a female. We do have that straight, don't we? Guys, you do plan to marry a female, am I correct? If not, the altar is here and you can repent. Because you're not born crooked, you get that way. So you're planning to marry a female. So the way you treat your mama, the way you treat your grandmama, the way you treat your sisters, the way you treat... Are y'all getting this? Is somebody getting this? The way you treat your cousins that are females, that's the way you're going to treat your wife one of these days. And if you show respect and honor, then it's going to just transfer right over. Many people wonder why they've spent their lives on the rocky road of life. And it's simply because they did not honor their parents. Why should you honor your mother? Not only should you do it so it can go well with you, but another reason you ought to honor your mother is so What does it say? Thou mayest live long on the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5, 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be prolonged. Matthew 15, 4. Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Mark 7, 10. Honor thy father and thy mother, whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. To curse your parents is to pronounce a death sentence upon yourself. In fact, in the Old Testament, a man who blasphemed his parents could literally be put to death. Boy, we'd have a lot of capital punishment today if that happened, wouldn't we? Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. He's foolish. Why is he foolish? He's slitting his own throat. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father. And despiseth to obey his mother. That's the eye. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. You say, gross. Gross, just like the eye mocking and despising is gross. You see, God gives you and me the power to shorten or lengthen our physical lives. According to Job 14:5, God determined before you were born the date of your birth and the date of your death, and there's nothing you can do to change it, but God can change it. God does change it all the time. And one of the big reasons He changes the date of your death, He moves it forward or backward, is based on the honor or dishonor that you show to your parents. Well, I picked on Judah a while ago, and that was totally off the cuff. I didn't plan to do that, but while I'm at it, I'll pick on him some more. My daughter Andrea wrote this for me in February of 2004, and I pulled it out of the file last night. Judah, age 10, was looking over my shoulder as I read a news article. He asked who the picture was of, and I told him it was Ronald Reagan, who was the president when I was a child, and that Ronald Reagan was celebrating his 93rd birthday, and 10-year-old Judah looked at Janae wide-eyed and said, man, he must have really honored his parents. Number three, I said, what does it mean to honor your mother? Why should you honor your mother? And third, how can you honor your mother by the love you give? It's very simple. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 7. I need to show you this passage. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Anything a mother needs that a child can give, he should give it. I'm talking to children. I'm talking to adults. Mark chapter 7, verse 9. Jesus said unto them, and he's talking to the Pharisees here, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Now the commandment of God is to honor your father and your mother. It's 8 times in the Bible. For Moses said, here it is, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift. The word korban literally means gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. Here's what he's saying. A man could see something his father or mother needed, but he didn't want to give. So he could just say, I gave this to God, and he wouldn't have to give it to him. It's korban. It's a gift to God, and it got them out of having to honor their father and mother because they no longer had to give their gift. What do you see here? What do you see is Jesus saying specifically that somebody who honors his father and mother will give to them things they need that he can give. Now, I believe in giving to God, you know that, but that must never be an excuse to not give your father or mother what they need. I heard a radio broadcast this week, and they asked the question. I listened to it for about 10 minutes. What do you want for Mother's Day? And there was flowers and candy and gifts. And I also heard this: I wish my son would wash and vacuum my car for me. I wish somebody in the house would help me do the dishes. Would it honor, young ladies, would it honor your mother today if you cleaned your room without being asked? Fellas, I hope you get your mama something. I hope you write her a note. I hope you buy her a flower or give her a card or whatever you can do for her today, but I wonder what she would really want. I wonder if she would just want your room clean and you walked in and you said, "Mom, I'd like you to see my room." Maybe it should be some other gift. I really don't know. Maybe you should ask her. Folks, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say here, but I need to say this. I am not against nursing homes. I am for nursing homes. Many people need the medical care that nursing homes provide. But too many people in America are letting an uncaring government take care of their parents when they could and should take care of them themselves. When my mother died in the fall of, fell and 3 weeks later died in the fall of 2006, we were in the process of moving her up here. She was in the hospital for over a week in intensive care for a while. I slept on a concrete floor two or three nights next to my mother's bed in intensive care. They had no policy that allowed people to stay in an intensive care room all night long. My mother was so critically ill, the head nurse came to me and said, I can't do anything better for you, but I will overlook the fact that you're sleeping on the floor. And I said, "Thank you, ma'am." She was in the hospital for over a week. And when they finally said, "There's nothing more we can do, we need to get her a nursing home," I went to her in the presence of my sisters and looked at her and I said, "Mother, nursing home or home? You can have either one you want, which one you want." She said, "I want you to take me to my house and care for me till I die." And we did. We've already told my wife's dad that our home is his home if and when he ever needs it. In fact, we designed and built our house with that in mind. We designed it where there are two different places my wife's dad can come and stay if and when he ever wants it and needs it. What gift does your mother need today? You need to give her a gift. Honor gives. Does she need encouragement? Does she need kindness? Does she need help? Does she need service? Does she need gratefulness? Does she need care? Does she need a reason to live? The reason I took my mother on those big trips I took her on is because I wanted to give her reasons to live. Jonathan Lewis wrote and sent out an email newsletter everybody here ought to read for their homeschool enrichment. I got it last night, sat and read that whole, it was long. Honoring his mother, I'm sure she has to be a little embarrassed, but she is also very blessed. Maybe you should write a letter to your mom, read it to her in front of the whole family during family devotions. What gift of encouragement does your mother need? How can you honor your mother? By the love you give, and last, by the life that you live. By the love you give and by the life that you live. I'm sure there may have been some, but I've never known a mother who wasn't grateful for a child who trusted Christ and lived right. Even wicked mothers have told me what a blessing it was to have some son or daughter who had trusted Christ and lived for Him. No mother honors her family who dies without Jesus Christ. No child honors his parents who dies and goes to hell. The story that I opened with is really a story about a young man who was trying to honor his mother, and he's at this recital and he's the last one and his teacher's sitting there and she's cringing, and Robbie pulled out the piano bench And the teacher said, I was surprised when he announced he had chosen Mozart's Concerto No. 21 in C major. I was not prepared for what I heard next. His fingers were light on the keys. They danced nimbly on the ivories. He went from pianissimo to fortissimo, from allegro to virtuoso. His suspended chords that Mozart demands were magnificent. Never had I heard Mozart played so well by anyone his age. After 6.5 minutes, he ended in a grand crescendo, and everyone was on their feet. In wild applause, overcome and in tears, I ran up on stage and put my arms around Robbie in joy. I've never heard you play like that, Robbie. How'd you do it? And over the microphone, he explained, well, Miss Hondorf, remember I told you my mom was sick? Actually, she had cancer. She passed away this morning. Well, Mother was born deaf. And tonight was the first time she ever heard me play. I wanted to make it special. He honored his mother. Are you honoring your father and your mother? Would you bow with me, please?